What a great Sunday already. How you guys doing? Awesome. Yep, still summer. Sorry about that. Can't help it. Excited about today's message. We are wrapping up the series called New Ways, which is about rerouting our spiritual life. And I hope it's been good for you guys. For me, it's been huge, because I think so often we think that Christianity is based on faith, and that's a part of it, but it's not the end of it. Because if we're not acting out of what we actually believe or say that we believe, then we don't really believe it. Do y'all follow that? So I think many times people come to church and they go, what do I do? This message series is all about what we do because of what we believe. Like, I believe, therefore I do. So we've looked at spiritual disciplines, which is really things that we know that we need to do, and sometimes we don't feel like doing it. And let me just say, it's not always easy. Here's the spiritual disciplines that we've talked about: prayer, meditation, fasting, study. Let's just be honest. Do all of those things like super fun all the time? Some of the time? No, they're not all, listen to me, they're not always fun. But and you're talking to a guy whose motto in ministry has been, if it's not fun, I quit. Y'all think I'm joking. Where's my staff? Is that true? It is. If it's not fun, I quit. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't seasons and moments and valleys that you have to walk through that are difficult and hard. But at the end of the day, there ought to be something inside of you that you're going, okay, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's worth it. I'm moving on. And you can, at the end of even a really tough season, go, okay, God, we're about to have some fun. Does this make sense, guys? But it's not always fun to study, to meditate, to pray, to fast. Fasting is not fun, okay? I like food. But I like the results. And I think many times people fail to do something unless there's an immediate gratification. But the gratification of embracing the disciplines, the things that we're called to do in meditation and prayer and fasting and study and embracing simplicity and solitude, submission, service. Those aren't always fun, but when we do them, and this is what we're called to do because we believe, and even though we don't feel like necessarily doing them all the time, when you do what you don't want to do because you know it is the agent of transformation and change, in the middle of you not wanting to do it, you find out that it's the very thing that helps you to become what God's called you to be. That's why they're called disciplines, because you got to make yourself do it sometimes. I got to make myself pray sometimes. I got to go through my prayer list, and sometimes it's dry. It's like eating cardboard. I lie and praying for people. I'm just being transparent and hopefully encouraging you to you. Sometimes I read the Bible and like I'm like, wait, what did I just read? Nobody's ever read something. Yeah, it just, I'm just saying it happens, and I think the devil's in there going like, oh yeah, just never do it again, because there's something that happens when we embrace the disciplines that transform and change our lives. This, listen to me carefully, this series, more than anyone I've ever preached ever, if you apply it, your life will be changed. I promise. Because something happens when you study and you pray and you meditate and you fast and you embrace simplicity over insanity. And you embrace solitude rather than the menagerie of everything that's paraded in front of us on screens and traffic. And when we embrace submission and we willingly come under the authority of God and somebody else, when we embrace a heart of servitude and we act like a servant, like we choose to be, things change in us, man, and we become like Jesus, because this is the lifestyle that Jesus lived. And so here's what we're talking about today, and we're going to do things a little bit differently. Is that okay? I know Pastor Josh didn't want to steal my thunder. I'm wondering where that thunder's coming from, though. And I think of the song. Y'all know the song, right? Thunder, thunder. Okay, never mind. Celebration. We're talking about the spiritual discipline of celebration. Y'all do real. If you're new here, I'm glad you're here. I'm kind of sometimes a little hyperactive and maybe all over the place, but you'll get it, I promise. Is that okay? I can be boring if y'all like. Good, okay. I think my mom prayed that I'd be boring. Never was. Here's celebration, the spiritual discipline of celebration. That's what we're talking about today. And this is a spiritual discipline I've been very bad at. I'm just gonna say, like, I'm an outgoing extrovert who is has hermitish tendencies and doesn't like to celebrate things. So this has been like, this has been a gut check for me. I know that sounds really terrible and those things don't go together, but my wife's an introvert who loves people, so go figure. Celebration is the spiritual discipline of rejoicing in the good things that come from God and others. We have to discipline ourselves to rejoice in the good things that come from God and others. And so rejoicing is the key. And so I just made all this up, including this definition, though it's taken from scripture and from how Jesus lived and from the patriarchs of the faith, some of whom came 1,000 years before, but I distilled it down to this. And then I said, what's the core of this? It's discipline of rejoicing, because we remember the good things about God and other people. And that rejoicing, I'm just gonna break this word down, it's a little crazy, so y'all just stay with me. Can y'all stay with me? Yes. Y'all gonna talk to me today? Because yes. We're gonna celebrate a little bit today. Re, the prefix re means what? Do it again. Joy, that should be, I know it's J-O-I, but what does that mean? What do you think? Guess. Like joy, regardless of what you're walking through, you're gonna be okay. Like there are times when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and that's not fun, but when you know that God's with you, there's a joy knowing that it's gonna be all right in the end. Go through joy and like joy sing. And I'm like, that kind of sounds like voice. I know, not really, but it kind of does. So rejoicing. So again and again, am I going to speak of the good things that come from God and others in my life? This is a discipline. It's hard. It's easy to focus on the negative. I'm an outgoing, happy-go-lucky person who finds it very easy to focus on the negative. Well, I don't like that. 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 You know where it shows up sometimes? I'm a foodie and a coffee snob. And that's not like, I'm going like, Lord, you got to check my heart. I drank a Keurig Folgers Black Silk this morning just to make sure that my heart was right, because that's some nasty junk right there. I live my coffee life by the rule of twos. You got 2 years, just so you know, it's the rule of twos. You got 2 years that green beans are good. Like, not like the vegetable, but like coffee beans that are green. They'll last for about 2 years. Then you got to roast them. Once you roast them, listen to me, people, and this is why you can't drink trash coffee, because they're good for 2 weeks, okay? Maybe. Really, after about 8 days, they start to go south, roasted beans. Once you grind them, I'm so sorry, people who buy ground coffee, like, it's good for 2 hours, okay? It's the rule of twos. And coffee snobs know what I'm talking about. But can I tell you, I've had to check my heart. Lord, like, that coffee is nasty. And now I'm like, I'm going to drink gas station coffee just to check my heart so I can focus on the good things, because it's too easy to focus on the bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or a foodie. Don't even get me started on foodies. I know I can't eat at chains. Like, I went to Taco Bell this morning. I'm sorry. I can't do that. What are we focusing on? What are we rejoicing in? The good things. Let me just remind you of this. Ooh, and I got to zip through this stuff. The life that Jesus lived, and even the Bible in the Old Testament and Judaism, it was about, a lot of it was like focused on celebration. Do you know how many feasts that lasted at least a week they had in Judaism? Anybody know how many feasts they still to this day, they celebrate feasts and like they're this big celebration. Y'all know how many in Judaism and the culture that Jesus grew up in and what God gave Moses and how they were to live, which might apply to us today. Maybe we should think about that. How many weeks, y'all know? Anybody? How many feasts? Seven feasts. Out of those feasts, three of them were feasts of ingathering. That meant everybody from all over the country had to go to Jerusalem for a week-long feast 3 times a year. So if, like Jesus, you grew up in Nazareth, which like today's Nazareth from Jerusalem is still the same location, but on modern roads is 92 miles. But they didn't have cars, and most people had to walk. So 3 times a year, as a kid growing up, Jesus had to walk 92 miles one way, spend a week in Jerusalem feasting, and then walk back. And it takes about 2 weeks one way to walk that. You could probably do it in a week if you're really dedicated. Most people don't get 3 weeks of vacation. And there were three feasts that everybody had to go there. Why is that important? Because God is about celebrating. Here were the three feasts. Here were the three feasts were Passover, Pesach, which is celebrating the exit from Egypt. Then the second one was Shavuot, which is Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which is the giving of the law to Moses. And then the last one was Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths, which celebrated God being with them as they were traveling in the wilderness. So three feasts. In fact, actually, one of the most important feasts of the entire year starts tonight at sundown, because that's when the Jewish day begins. It's Rosh Hashanah, and they're celebrating the new year. So it's the Jewish new year. What is the year? 5870, I believe. Isn't that cool? They celebrated all the time. So here's my question. Do you celebrate? Do you focus on the good things from God and from others? When Jesus, it was proclaimed that the Messiah was coming down to earth, the announcement of Jesus arriving on the earth was part of a celebration. Luke 2:10 says, but the angel reassured them. The angel speaking to the shepherds, first people to hear about this, says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And behind them, there's this huge angel choir, and all of the angels are rejoicing that Jesus is coming to the earth. His announcement, the Messiah, Jesus is showing up on earth, was started with a party by angels that were singing and dancing. Isn't that cool? So we're all going to dance here in a moment. No, not really. All the white people are like, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Whew, unless you like my mama, and my mama can dance, man. Whew. All the former Baptists, though, you just started sweating just a little bit. And we're going to play cards at the same time. sorry. Jesus began his year by, and here's the next thing you know, Jesus began his ministry by proclaiming the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years was the year of Jubilee, where the land would go back to, like, there was no more debt. Debts were erased. Slaves were like the indentured servitude, that they were all set free. And Jesus, as he steps up, preaches his first real message, his first message. He quotes Isaiah, but it's about himself in that moment. And he proclaims the year of Jubilee. This is what he says in Luke 4. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring. What's this to bring? What is Jesus anointed to bring?
Good news.
Come on, y'all say it like you mean it. Jesus brings what?
Good news
to the poor. I mean, I grew up in a church where, like, it was like they were mad that you were there. Sit in the back. And I don't know why this is, I have my theories, but it was usually old people.
Well, I'm just waiting for God to open up the floor here and all these young heathens go straight to hell.
That's how a lot of people like grew up. Anybody else grew up like you're like, why is everybody so mad? Why is everybody so angry? Can't we have fun here? Did anybody else would like? And I don't know why. And we're blessed. We have some old people that are gonna have a party with you. And so I'm not gonna call names because then I'm gonna get fussed at for being old, and then I'll start this crazy. Anyway. But y'all grow up with people that it wasn't about the good news. It's like God's here among us, where two or three are gathered, there he is, and boy, is he mad. Nobody else grew up that way. Okay, just me.
He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released.
Have you ever felt like you've been in bondage? That's not fun. Anybody ever had handcuffs put on you by the police? You don't have to raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. I have. I'm just going to say I have. Y'all can leave that to your imagination. But that's not fun. Number one, it's not like, it's like, and it's not like they're, sir, are they loose enough? Because when a cop's upset about what's going down, it's like, all right, hands back. And then they go, and then those suckers hurt. It's not fun. And it's like, oh my God, I'm tough now. And they put the hands like, oh man, they cut it. And when they take them off, if you've ever been in handcuffs or you've ever been in bondage and you get that moment of freedom, it's pretty amazing. Jesus proclaims good things, guys, good news to the poor. Captives released, the blind will see. Let me tell you, I was blind and now I see. Probably 18 years ago, my marriage was bad. And in a moment of me just really being a horrible, terrible, like a rageaholic type crazy guy, in the middle of that, God like pulled off like spiritual glasses, and in a moment I could see. And my only response was like, oh my gosh, this is me. And he let me see the truth and brought about transformation and change into a marriage that today that I couldn't imagine it getting better. And yet it keeps getting better because of Jesus, because good news, the oppressed will be set free. Jesus sets the oppressed free. If you've ever had something just like weighing down on you, he brings freedom. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Does anybody want God's favor in your life? Yeah, I do. Heck yeah. Jesus calls us to live a life worth celebrating. Look what he says in John 15, 11. He says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And my thing is like, okay, if that's the case, how come sometimes I feel empty and the only thing there is despair and darkness? Have you ever felt that before? This is what Jesus says to his disciples. He's just taught them and he says, I'm telling you these things so that you can be filled with my joy, so that your joy will overflow. And too many times, Christians walk around empty. And there's darkness and there's despair. And I get it, and I've been there. And it's hard, but let me just tell you this. The discipline of celebration says, I will choose to rejoice and focus on the good things that God and other people have done in my life. It's a heart and attitude change, but it's a discipline, especially when you're a coffee snob foodie that is like, that's not quite good enough. Have you ever been around people that make you feel like you're not quite good enough? Yes. Like you're almost there. Oh, you're almost, I'm gonna golf clap. It's kind of okay, but like you're almost there. It's miserable. But when you get around people who are just excited, does that do something to you? Because they're full of joy. That's God's heart for us. Galatians 5:22. You know, when we live a spiritually deep life and we allow God to fill us, here's what grows. It's called the fruit of the Spirit because there's that depth in us. There's spiritual life. And what grows in us is this. Everybody say it. You ready? What is this first word? Love. What's the next one?
Joy.
And then what?
Peace,
love, joy, and peace. If we can just get the first three, we're doing good. But when we walk with God and we remember the good things that he's done, when we walk with God and we focus on the good that other people have done, things begin to change in love, joy, and peace. It's huge. You know, years later, after that moment when my glasses pulled off, the spiritual blinders, and I could see and my things began to change And I wasn't perfect overnight, but there was a genuine like shift in the relationship, and God began to transform me and change me. And then my wife got to the place where she could begin to trust. And then one day I come home and she's face down on the floor and she's crying. My wife's not a crier at all. And I like walk in and I'm like, hey, baby, it's like it's not normal. She's like, I'm so mad at you because of all I had done. And she said, I was a terrible guy for a lot of years. And God spoke to her. And she said, this is how I made it through. I was able to focus. God spoke to me, not an audible voice, but pretty close. Focus on the good in him. Focus on the good in him. And when you focus on the good that comes from God and the people he's placed in your life, you're walking by his Spirit, not your own. Love, joy, peace. Last one, Philippians 4:6-7 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's the formula so that you can walk in peace. Wouldn't you like to have peace all the time? Can we leave that scripture up? Rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Instead of worrying, pray and tell God what's going on and thank him. Rejoice, choose it, focus on the good things. I'm gonna go back to the places of joy in my life. I'm gonna tell God what's going on and I'm gonna thank him. And then it says, verse 7, then you'll experience God's peace because you focused on joy and the anchors to your soul of those. You ever have good times you can look back on and go, that's really good. I'm super grateful for that. Yes or no? Good. Focus on them. Tell God when you're feeling down and then thank him. Gratitude unlocks the doors of heaven and it releases joy. Amen. What does celebration look like? Y'all ready? Three things, and then I got something for y'all. Here's what celebration looks like. Number one, it looks like a party. It looks like a party. And sometimes we can be thinking all sorts of crazy stuff from cowboys. Y'all been there before? Don't answer that. I've seen parties at funerals where everybody's sad and grieving and sorrowful, and then somebody laughs and it changes the whole spirit of the place. Have y'all experienced that? It's a party. It's a party. Man, what should we celebrate? Celebrate anchors, those times that are good things happen, birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, like the birth of a child, getting a new house, a new job. Celebrate. Here's the second thing that celebration looks like. It looks like preparation. This all speaks all about intention. And you're talking to a bad celebrator who my wife once threw me when we were dating. She threw me a surprise party and I walked in, everybody said surprise, and I walked out and left. That's pretty terrible, isn't it? I'm just being transparent so y'all can see. Preparation is a huge part of celebration. If you want to plan a killer party, does it happen like that? I think I'll just put on Facebook, come over. Is that going to be a good party? No, not unless some other people had come prepared to party and to celebrate something. And usually in the last minute, it's usually not good. And they usually need some help with that celebration, not necessarily the best help. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's usually alcohol. So I'm just saying. There's prep. Am I preparing? Am I planning? Am I intentional in celebration? And here's the third one. It's my favorite. You ready? It's people. What does celebration look like? It looks like a party. Looks like preparation, and it looks like people. And today, I want us to celebrate. Can we do that? I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna celebrate. We're celebrating what God has done in us, because celebration is a corporate discipline. It's all of us celebrating. So I'm just gonna let y'all know that we're celebrating today two things. We're celebrating our missions, like what we do both in our local community and internationally through missions. I'm just gonna read off some of the things that we've done. And y'all gonna celebrate. You ready? In our food pantry this year so far, we've served over 1,100 people. Come on, can we clap for that? That's awesome. Our serve day, we had over 300 people that gave up an entire day. That's 300 people giving up a day. It's like 300 days of people serving in our community. And so we were able to do really cool stuff. Like we gave over 500 backpacks full of school supplies to needy kids who couldn't afford it. Get this. At 11 schools, it's over $7,000 worth of stuff that you guys gave. We did Stuff the Bus, where 7 schools, we provided teachers. So there's a gap. It's to the tune of, I want to say it's almost $300 that the average teacher spends out of their own pocket for school supplies for their classroom. This year, we took 7 schools and we provided all of the teachers what they needed so they wouldn't have to do that, all of those supplies. Can we celebrate that? Come on, you guys did that. For teachers' appreciation, we provided breakfast and then stocked the teacher, provided one day of breakfast for teachers and faculty and staff, and then stocked all of the teachers' lounges at 6 schools. Can we give that? Come on. That's awesome. This year, we took 4 mission trips and went all over the world. And we're going to watch a video about that in just a moment. But here's what I want to do, because I thank you guys for what y'all have done. But I want to celebrate those people that this has been their heart and their soul. And this is what they do because they love God. So all of our local outreach is done by Herman and Rhonda Williams, who oversee our food pantry and did Serve Day and all of that. Why don't they stand? Y'all come up. Come on, give them a hand. Y'all come up. And then Corey and Tabitha Duga, that they oversee all of our mission trips and foreign missions. We're going to pray for them and celebrate them, because here's the thing. I can't get everybody up on stage. And so whether it's been in local outreach with Herman and with Rhonda, or it's been internationally, you guys have sown into that. We get to celebrate what God does through us. And we need to be intentional about this. And as a church, honestly, we're not good at celebration. But we're going to get there. I'm going to try. Y'all going to help hold my feet to the fire, because parties are fun, right? And so we get to celebrate what we're done. But you know what? I want to give honor to these people that God has put it on their heart to be a blessing to both our local community and the world. Come on. Y'all stretch out your hands. We're going to pray for them. Father, I just pray a blessing over Corey and Tabitha. I just pray that you bless them. And as they've put their hand to foreign missions, Lord, I just thank you that you've used them, that you've blessed them. May your favor walk with them. May you join people to them that can be a blessing to them and can see more and more people be a light to this world. And Father, I just thank you for the gift that you've given us in Herman and Rhonda. I pray your favor and your blessing over them. Lord, I thank you that the years ahead of them are going to be better than the years that are behind them. And Lord, they've been good years already, but Father, I thank you that you were joining them to purpose and to people, and you were bringing people to be a blessing to them, and you've used them to be a spearhead in this community. May you continue that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give them a hand. There's a video I want us to watch on what you guys did in foreign missions. Over 40 of you went this year, and then many of you gave. And that's another thing. You gave money to help people go, thank you. Let's watch that video.
Hi, my name is Nika Fresh, and this summer I was able to go on a mission trip to Kenya. Whenever we talk about going on mission trips, we kind of get confused on what words to use. You know, you want to say it was fun, it was exciting. In all actuality, I was summing up by just saying the trip was life-changing. We were at King's home, King's Children's Home. We were able to play with the kids, minister to them. We did vacation Bible school. We watched movies. We even had the opportunity to partake in a lot of their daily chores, like washing clothes and just being a part of their everyday life. And so what I took from that is I could be doing so much more, but I let fear keep me from doing everything God has for me. And so although being on that trip, we brought them so much happiness and joy, and we spread God's love. For me, I got out of it step out. Like, you want to spread my love, get rid of your fear and just go out, grab the masses and be great. And so I think that was my biggest takeaway. Kenya was amazing. It was a blessing for me and for the kids, and just their heart for God is absolutely amazing.
Hey, my name's Blaine Newby. My wife and I, Lindsay, along with a bunch of people from the Lake Charles area, went on a mission trip to Chimaltenango, Guatemala. While we were there, we got to build a house for a family who basically had nothing. It was really more of a tin shack, but it was more than they had before we got there. It gave them a lot healthier places to live, which is great. One of the things that we also did was we went to a home for girls who were taken away from their family for different reasons. Typically there was maybe abuse, so we got to go there and bring joy to their lives, got to play some soccer with them. One of the great things about trying to bring joy to other people's lives is you get to see that they are already extremely happy. And this little boy, Edgar, was just really special to us because he was just, you know, full of life, full of joy, living on a home with dirt floors and still able to bring just extreme amounts of joy and love into the world, which was awesome to see.
Hey, I'm Chaz, and I had the opportunity to go to Colombia this year. We were the youngest mission team to branch out from our church, and it was just amazing. It's hard to get words, but our first night there, we landed in Bogota, and just riding through the streets, making it to the hotel, I knew it was a night I would never forget. We woke up the next morning and went to Ibai Game, and that night we did a park ministry, and we got to talk with them and share our testimonies and play games with them. And I just loved how we were able to worship and talk and just get closer to God in a language that they couldn't understand us and we couldn't understand them. And so we got a chance to go to a children's shelter to dance with kids, to sing with them. And these children, they're being raised by single mothers. Their moms can't provide for them. And so they may feel forgotten. And so for us to be able to go there and love on them, it was just amazing. And this trip taught me that I should never be afraid to step out of my comfort zone and just be who God created me to be, which is to be a light to everyone and to never be nervous, to just step out and be like, I can do this. I'm not nervous. I'm never too young to do anything.
Hey guys, my name is Michael McFarland. I had the privilege of going to the Amazon mission this past summer. We went to Manaus, Brazil, is where we flew in. We had a team of about 9 people from Church of the King. And then in Houston and in Manaus, we met up with some of the other people that joined our team. It was a really great group of people, a lot of different backgrounds, different professions that came together and really just got along and worked well together as we were there. So we show up and our construction team pretty much turns into a painting team. So we start painting this school, and it was really cool because it was organized and led by the Brazilians there. They were the ones showing us how they mix it, how they paint it, where to apply it. One specific Brazilian there, Max, was sort of like the supervisor. He was a little like 4-year-old kid that told everybody what to do and where to go, and it was just really neat. But before the week was over, he was everybody's best friend. We just loved him. A lot of times you think of missions and it's just like, well, what are we gonna go there and do? Like, what's the labor, what's the activity? And it was cool because it wasn't until after we helped paint and after we did Vacation Bible School and after we did a medical clinic that it sort of broke the ice for those relationships, those moments where we centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom and the love and the mercy, that really was able to happen. And so I just encourage anyone that is thinking about doing a mission trip, if money's an issue, God provides. If time's an issue, there's no time like right now. And I just believe that it will exceed any expectation that you have.
Hi, I'm Hannah Sober, and I've been in Wales the last 10 months, specifically in the Vale of Glamorgan. And I was very fortunate to be able to serve that community for the whole time I was there. I built many wonderful friendships and made family. And I love that about being Christian. No matter where you go in the world, you find that you have family there. And that's one of the best things about following Christ. But mission isn't always so easy. It takes a lot out of you, but it's also the most rewarding thing you can do. For me, I learned much about myself, but more than that, I learned that our God is far-reaching and He loves everyone so well. And even though I know I'm here, He's still doing amazing things in Wales, as He is everywhere in the world. The reality is, whenever we look at Matthew 28, when Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," He means as you go. So where you are in life is your mission field. So what you would do there, what I did in Wales, is something I can do here in Lake Charles, and something I plan on doing. So whether you go, which was amazing, I totally encourage it, or whether you stay, remember that you're a missionary and make sure that in everything you do, it has purpose, because it does.
Come on, we can celebrate that. What an awesome video. So as we wrap up, I just want to answer the question, why is celebration important? Why is it even important? Why are we doing this? Why do we take the effort and the energy to get people up here, to produce a video? Because when you celebrate, it helps you to see the good things in life. When you celebrate, it helps you to see the good things that God's already given you and given us. This is why celebration's so important. This is why I've struggled with it. Like, it's because it's easy to focus on the negative. So many people focus on the negative. But when you discipline yourself, I will celebrate small milestones and big ones in my life and the lives of the people around me. It changes everything. Why is celebration important? It helps us to see the good things in life. Here's the second thing. It keeps us from taking ourselves too seriously. The body of Christ takes itself so seriously. And listen, it's a serious issue. I get it. Heaven, hell, purpose, doing what we want. But when we celebrate, we remember God's got it. All we got to do is be with Him. Have you ever been at a party and it's been kind of stuffy, like stuffy people, and like, you know, maybe some music's going or people are just like, it's awkward, and maybe there's, and then all of a sudden somebody does something that just kind of breaks that spirit of stuffiness off, and then everybody laughs, and then like the whole thing is different. Have y'all ever experienced that before? Come on, have you? This is what God's called us to walk in, is in the spirit of life. You know why? Because it brings freedom. And in those moments where somebody does something or says something or something happens and you can feel it, it's almost like a and that spirit of stuffiness is broken, everybody goes, oh, okay, I feel so much better. Because there's freedom that comes when we focus on the good things. It keeps us from taking ourselves too seriously. But here's the biggest one. It gives us perspective. It gives us perspective. That God's good. God's good. He's gifted us some good things and some good people in our life. Celebrate it. And if you think that God is up there with a lightning bolt waiting to just zap you when you do one wrong thing, you have a very wrong understanding of who God is. The God who instituted 7 week-long celebrations in his kingdom on earth that said, oh, you're gonna take 3 weeks of vacation and you're gonna go on a road trip for each of them. The God who says, oh, I'm speaking this so that you can be full of joy. And somehow we've taken the cross and we've made the cross this like this thing. It's hard, heavy, dark thing. Like, I'm so bad. My son, I'm so messed up. Like Jesus, like the Son of God had to go to that cross and he took all of that pain for me. And he did. But can I tell you what Hebrews 12:2 says? It says this: for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus recognized that it was joyful for him to go to the cross because of the freedom and the life that it would bring for you. That's why we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it's why Jesus said, I'll do it. It's hard, but I'm doing it full of joy because I know the freedom and the life that it brings. And when one sinner turns from their way, there's a party in heaven. Actually, Luke 15:10 says, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when even one sinner repents. And when one person turns from their way and turns to God. Maybe you're here today and you've been looking at life through the wrong lens, through the perspective of your own experience, not recognizing that God has a purpose and a plan and a place for you that's way bigger than what you can see in the lens of pain and problems and difficulty. Maybe you're here today and that you know that you've been seeing the wrong things, but today God is calling you to him and to turn from your way, to turn from your sin and to turn to him and focus on him, because one of my life verses, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and to give you hope. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and this message is for you, and that you know that you've been focusing on the wrong thing. You've been focusing on the wrong thing. You've been looking at the wrong thing. But today God is calling out to you and he's calling you to him, and he's calling you to the place where you turn from looking at things through your own perspective and you turn to him and you look at him through the redemption that comes through Jesus. Because Jesus, he went to that cross because he wanted to, because he knows the Bible is true, that the wages of sin is death. We see it in the brokenness all around us. We know that's true. But Jesus came that you could have life. Maybe it's time to look at things from him, his perspective. If you're here today, say, Pastor, this message is for me. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. I want to pray for you right where you are. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me, pray for me. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. There's so many hands. Let's just all pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, I turn to you. I want to look at you. I turn from the dark, depressing things. I turn from my sin. And I receive your forgiveness and cleansing. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. Everybody said loudly and clapping. Amen. Come on. We'll be out of here in about 30 seconds, so give me just those 30 seconds. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If God did something at you, take a moment and fill out that connection card. And whether it's for the first time or it's the 100th time, check out where it says, today I've decided. Maybe you've God's done something in you. You've rededicated your life. Maybe you've surrendered your life to the Lord. You made a decision to Him for the first time. Check that off. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Either bring that to the box, drop that in the boxes by the doors on the way out, or bring it to the Connection Center. Or you can see the crosses on the sidewalls. Our ministry team members are there ready to pray with you. If you need to pray with somebody, go pray with them, and they can take your card as well. Did y'all have a good time today? Yes. Good. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to celebrate on the way out. And listen, if you're interested in getting connected in local outreach, or if you're getting connected in the mission trips that we have for this year. By the way, I just realized I forgot to announce this last service of what they are. I'm so sorry. Where are we going? They're up there. Colombia, Guatemala, Kenya, and potentially a really special one that's in the States. So anyway, come on, let's celebrate. Father, thank you that you are so good. We love you. I pray a blessing on everybody here. May you bless them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Y'all are dismissed. Have a great Sunday. If you need prayer, you come.